You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Vancouver City Council is considering changing the height restrictions in downtown Eastside in the area around the Woodward's development. The changes in zoning would allow 15-story buildings. This proposed change is supported by property developers who want the increased density to build more profitable condos. But the City Council has also heard from residents and activists in the area. Wendy Peterson is with the Carnegie Community Action Project. She's co-author of an assessment published last year of the housing situation in the downtown East Side. It's called Still Losing Rooms. And she joins me in the studio. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
What happened? Let's start with the Woodward's development. What has happened to low-income housing in the area around the Woodward's development?
Well, the Woodward's development would be okay. We could handle more condos, even big projects like Woodward's in the neighborhood, if the tenure of the low-income community was secure, the tenure and the assets of the low-income community, but it's not. So Woodward's has had a bad ripple effect throughout the neighborhood. Land values, the price of land around Woodward's, actually all the way up to Carnegie, to Hastings and Main, have increased. And it's caused speculation. We see new hotels that have emptied out now around Woodward's. The Golden Crown, Argyle Hotel, Colonial Hotel, emptied and holding their rooms and not renting them to low-income people anymore. And we've seen a sign the other day out in front of the Golden Crown. They're renting from $600 to $800 a month. Well, a low-income person can't afford, by our definition of low-income, a person who's living at the low-income cutoff line can afford about $500 a month. A person on welfare can afford $375 a month. So those hotel rooms are being priced out of the range of what people can afford in this neighborhood. And in the hotels that are already occupied, the rents are slowly creeping up. So as a person moves out of the hotel, the landlord can rent that room, that 10 by 10 crappy room with a bathroom down the hall and no kitchen, can rent it for $425, $500, $525, $550. There's no mechanism to prevent this. We have rent control, but the rent control is on the person. So when the person moves out, the landlord can rent the room for whatever he or she wants. So these are the bad effects of Woodward's. This is the main bad effect, is the collateral damage surrounding it. Also, the upscale stores, the Nestors, London Drugs, is it really a so-called inclusive community? Is it really a so-called inclusive community when you have separate elevators, separate entrances for the rich and poor at Woodward's, and amenities based on class? So there's a big hot tub on the top of Woodward's that, you know, they say it's open to anybody, but what they mean is anybody who owns property. That was their idea of inclusive amenity, not creating a penthouse. So everybody can enjoy Club W and the W-shaped hot tub. So there's, you know, I think our neighborhood's complex, but if you're going to make decisions about it, you have to know all of this stuff, and so you have to understand the impact on the low income, the majority of the residents here.
What things do you think should be in place then before the City Council considers going further with the height increases
in
this district?
We've asked the city to do a study, not like we need more studies, but we do need a social and economic impact study of the Woodward's condos, the other condos in the neighborhood, and potential new heightened density on the low-income and Aboriginal community, who make up 70% of the population and who are living with an income of about $1,000 a month on average. So we need to understand the impact, and we've told the mayor that there's a big gaping hole in his homeless strategy. And it's called gentrification, which is a fancy word for upscaling a place, upscaling a neighborhood, moving the low-income people out. And that's what's happening. It's incremental. And the planning term for it is slow conversion. So there's a slow conversion of the downtown east side, particularly west of Main.
So the city does have a housing policy. But how is there, how are they proceeding with that?
Well, the city's housing policy is interesting, and they have one for the downtown east side. So in that housing policy, they ask for a rate, they ask for every hotel room that's lost, they'll replace it with a unit of social housing. That was the main gist. That was what the goal of the housing plan was to get that in place. But so that could take, as we've calculated, that will take 53 years at the rate they're going. So that's one issue with it.
53.
Yeah, we counted and we calculated how based on the current rate. That's one problem. The other problem is they count the provincially owned hotel rooms, the new 1,000 rooms that we keep hearing about that the province bought, as new social housing. It's newly purchased, and there were mostly people living in them already, but it's not new social housing, so that's another problem. And the third problem is they don't count the rent increases as losses. So that's a problem. That housing plan has no way of looking at slow conversion and rent increases. So according to the city, if the Columbia Hotel right across from Co-op Radio here, it went from $375 to $800 a month within about 6 months last year. That to them is still a low-income unit. So they're not counting that change that happened, and we are, and we're saying pay attention to this because it's contributing to neighborhood change and homelessness. And they're, so we'll know on Tuesday what they do, because we've worked on this for 6 months now. There was a huge delegation at City Hall. There were 79 speakers yesterday on, and many of them talking about this, saying focus on displacement. We know you want to do revitalization. You've got a plan called revitalization without displacement, but are you really paying attention to the displacement part? So we'll see what they do on Tuesday. That's when they're going to make their decision.
You referred to this phrase of slow conversion, and maybe it's not politic to say that that's something intentional, but it sounds to me it's pretty hard for people involved in this kind of planning to not be aware that that's what's happening.
And one of the big problems, the Downtown Eastside Housing Plan says that we need to monitor the rate of change in the neighborhood, and especially if condos start to quickly outpace social housing, which it is 3-to-1. But the city's not, they're not doing anything about that. And that must be because they intend to change the neighborhood. And it is difficult to go against the development interests in the city. It really is, who are pushing them hard to build higher, bigger, faster, and open things up. So they're you know, saying, well, we're doing the best we can with replacement. So we've got some replacement housing coming. You know it's coming. We've got some, but to us it's still 100 units a year is nothing, right? So it's a bit of a, you have to be almost like a lawyer and really look through this. It's taken us years to get kind of close to what the planning department is doing and trying to understand it and then be able to communicate it out to the community and then get some traction on it. But it's really complicated to stay on top of them. The bureaucracy has infinite time and resources.
You've called for a national housing plan. What components would you propose in that plan?
The national housing program that we had before 1990 built 30,000 homes a year across Canada. Affordable housing, not just, they actually didn't build supportive housing. That was under the health budget. So now that's changed. So we don't build affordable housing in Canada like we used to. And our supportive housing and our assisted living for seniors is now health, under the health budget. It's now social, it's called social housing. It's under the social housing portfolio. And there's very little in there too. So we need that national housing program back, and we need those funds so that if we need to build in this neighborhood of the downtown east side, housing for families, for Chinese seniors, for people who are low income but don't need supports, you can't. So our hands are tied and our feet are bound, and we're expected to go along with Woodward's projects. where the developers can move in and it's a privatized form of housing development, where you sell the whole thing to the developer and the developer extracts some of the profits into social housing. And it's a way of privatizing the housing market, and it has all this other collateral damage. So you may get some at the start, but as you move forward, the neighborhood starts changing, the land values, the land values go up, people start being displaced. You see what we're stuck with? So it's really important that we have the ability to compete. I'm entrepreneurial. So I would, if I wanted to start up a housing nonprofit and build housing for families in my neighborhood, the downtown east side, I can't do it. There's no money. So that's we're hogtied. So, and that's what I told them at council last night, and they know it. And I said, Mr. Mayor, this should be your legacy. You need to hold the developers back in this city and tell them, you're an activist. This is what you want. You want to end homelessness. You go to Ottawa and get us a housing program, and then we'll talk. But they're, so that's what I'd do if I was mayor.
So they want to, you want to pin them to that on the meeting coming up on the 26th?
Well, actually, they heard all of the speakers on the 19th and the 22nd of January. And the 26th, they wanted to send us all home. They'll make a decision and see who comes back on Tuesday to watch. But we'll all be back to watch what decision they make on Tuesday morning at 9:30. So if others want to join us, you can come up to City Hall. You can also stay in touch with us, too, by contacting us at the Carnegie Action Project at Hastings and Main. And
is there a phone number for that?
604-839-0379. Maybe I can give a link for your website. And because we actually have a little movement of people around the city so that are paying attention to planning and local communities. And we get support because people know that if we achieve some gains here, that they can use that in their neighborhood. Oh, you bet. So the West End is working on pushing city council for a vision and a plan, just like we are.
Right.
So there's some unity around the city.
Okay, well, thanks a lot and good luck on Tuesday. Okay. I hope there's a big crowd out.
Thanks.
I've been speaking with Wendy Peterson. She's active with the Carnegie Community Action Project.